All right, Merry Christmas. Fantastic to be with you today. We just love coming to church, and it's been an amazing 18 months for us. We've been around the place preaching in other churches in our online movement. As many of you know, our movement has got many churches right across Australia. There's five in Melbourne Metro. There's three or four others in Victoria and regional areas. I've been around those for a while, here and there preaching as well. And now coming back here since July as members, not leaders. So it's been really exciting. And I just really want to honour Daniel and Megan Power, amazing pastors. And Chris and I are just so proud of them. And they're doing an amazing job. And I don't know if you realise this, but they're recognised as significant next generation leaders in our movement around Australia. And a great couple that are making a huge difference. And it's exciting just to watch God do his work in their lives. Amen? And I just loved being here last week for the combined service. Man, we had fun. And just having everybody here from the Farsi service, the Arabic service, the English service. And it's actually a lot of fun. I love how Negan, who's the Persian translator, she always has a few funny comments to make. About who's translating properly or who's living her out before she gets to say something. But it's a great example of what God is doing through this church in our community, isn't it? And so I wouldn't miss it for the world. And it's great to be here, and Christmas time is the best time to invite people to church. And today we want to share a Christmas message with you. And Christmas is something to celebrate. It's God's plan in sending his son to earth for our redemption. It is a time of joy. It's a time of getting together with family. It's a time of helping the poor. And it's a time to share the reason for the season. Amen. So I want to share with you a hymn that Charles Wesley wrote. And this hymn was written in the 1700s. And it's all about this incredible thing that happened as Jesus was born. It says, "Let heaven and earth combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. He laid his glory by, he wrapped him in our clay. Unmarked by human eye, the latent Godhead lay. Infant of days, he here became and bore the mild Emmanuel name. Unsearchable the love that has the Saviour brought. The grace is far above or man or angel's thought. Suffice for us that God we know, our God is manifest below. He deigns in flesh to appear, widest extreme to join, to bring our vileness near and make us all divine. And we the life of God shall know, for God is manifest below, made perfect first in love and sacrificed by grace. We shall from earth remove and see his glorious face. Then shall his love be fully showed, and man shall then be lost in God." This is all about what's called the incarnation. What is incarnate deity? What is all that about? This is what began the story of Christmas, isn't it? When a virgin conceived, and God was planning this out from the beginning of time. Even before the foundations of the world began, Christ already was set apart for a destiny to give his life for us. And in Isaiah 7:14, it says this, "God declared his plan. Sorry, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." So right from the very beginning, as the people of Israel understood, we will one day see a Messiah come to be with us. And this thought that a virgin would conceive and bear a child sitting there as an impossibility about to happen. And as we think about incarnate deity, we're thinking about God is infinite. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God created the universe that you and I know contains literally billions of galaxies. So vast, our human mind couldn't comprehend the largeness of what is actually just a creation. The Creator is bigger than the creation, guys. And that God, that incredible, amazing Creator God became a man. God the Son, Jesus Christ, incomprehensibly made man, Charles Wesley says. Contracted to a span, limited to a human body like you and I have. I wonder how good looking he was. Lots of people have painted paintings of what they think he looked like. One day we'll see him face to face. Can you wait for that moment? And now humanity has entered Godhead. Just let that touch your mind for a minute. When you see Jesus face to face in heaven one day, he will still have the nail scars in his hand. He will still have the opening in his side where the spear went in. Maybe you won't be able to see it because it'll have something on. He still has marks in his head with thorns of the crown of thorns dug deep into his skin. That same Jesus, forever, eternally, fully God, fully man. And this verse, these words from Charles Wesley, trying to help us understand, to perceive and see the greatness of what God has done in coming and becoming a man in our place. God chose for this miracle to happen, not by some supernatural appearance. Jesus just suddenly was there. No. He decided that this would happen through conception in the womb of a virgin. He decided that somebody on earth that I can trust is going to help me to bring to pass the most important birth that ever takes place. I want you to think about the incredible moment when Mary is faced with seeing Gabriel, the angel. And listen to the story as I read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It's a long passage, but as I read, try to imagine in your mind, visualize what's happening as we read. This is not just a fable. This is not a fairy story. This actually happened. There's so many reasons we can give you by the authenticity and reliability of the Bible, but this one here is just a part of this great message that God has for us. Now in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, now Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, and the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly perplexed at what he said and kept carefully considering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen carefully. You will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and eminent. He will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, that's Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin and I have no intimacy with any man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a cloud. And for that reason, a holy, pure, sinless child shall be called the Son of God. And listen, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For with God nothing is ever or shall be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel left her. I want to just take you into that place where Mary was just for a moment, to help you perceive, to imagine, to think about what was happening at that moment in her life. She was a young Jewish woman, and most Christian historians believe that Mary was between the age of 15 and 16 when Gabriel showed up to speak to her. As she's there, and understand this, she was alone at this moment. God said, "I'm going to do this not when she's with mom and dad, not when she's with Joseph, not when she's with her cousin, not when she's with her girlfriends, when she's alone." Gabriel showed up. Imagine what's going on in Mary's mind and heart. She's seeing an angel. I'm sure that would have been incredibly amazing appearance, isn't it? All the times we read in the Bible about angels showing up, they're usually very bright, dressed in white. They're big. They've got wings. They're astounding. They make whoever's seeing them want to bow down. Shattering, earth moving, like changing. Her eyes will be bugging out, right? She's there at the moment. And as she's looking at him, she's a person who knows the Old Testament. She's been to the synagogue many times being a child. She's grown up knowing that a Messiah is promised. And she's thinking, what am I seeing an angel for? Here is a young woman devoted to God, but probably feeling insignificant, not important in the community. Living in a small town, Nazareth, they say, at that age was probably only a couple of thousand people living there. Somebody who was not a hero, not well-known, not famous, not known by a lot of people, just a young woman in her heart, devoted to God, and an angel shows up. She is greatly perplexed, it says in those verses. That means troubled and agitated with alarm. I'm not surprised. I don't know about you. She's probably thinking, my goodness, what does this mean? She says, what kind of greeting is this? In other words, why is the angel coming? The angel saying to me, I'm here, you're favored by God. Okay, what does it all mean? What's the reason? What's the purpose? Am I in trouble? You know, as a pastor, in the years gone by, if I'd ring someone who's a church member, often they'd be thinking and say to me, "Why are you ringing up? Am I in trouble?" No, I just love you. Just ringing up and say, "Hi, how are you going?" "Oh, okay, then, yeah, I'm fine, thanks." But imagine when an angel shows up. And you're thinking to yourself, is this my last moment on earth? Why is this incredible visitation happening to me? I've heard about it. I've seen from the scriptures that the angels showed up and spoke to people. But why me? An overwhelming feeling in her mind and heart. She was probably shaking. Maybe she knelt. Maybe she sat, I don't know, what happened there. And she was thinking, me, favored? Why am I favored? What's happening? And then comes the words, you shall conceive. Whoa, hang on a second. Do you think that would be a shocking statement? Girls? conceiving means having a baby, having birth. It's a big, big event, isn't it, in your life as a woman. She's already thinking, what is Joseph going to say? Wouldn't she think that thought? How? She says, how can I conceive? I have not been with a man. She is betrothed to Joseph. It's like being engaged in our language. Betrothed in Jewish tradition was equivalent to the importance of marriage. When you got betrothed, if you become unbetrothed, it's equal to divorce in Jewish culture. So being betrothed isn't just, hey, will you marry me? Get on one knee, give you a ring. No, no, no. This was like, will you stay with me the rest of your life? Betrothed, agreed to marry. She's betrothed to Joseph. And the angel Gabriel says to her, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Her mind is running 1,000 miles an hour. Only 3 times in the Old Testament is the word Holy Spirit mentioned in the format. Plenty of times the Lord God or Jehovah or Elohim, stacks of words that talk to us about God, but the Holy Spirit 3 times. So this is something very special for her. Something new, something different, something incredible. The power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. She'll be thinking, what is that like? How will that feel? What will happen? And most of all, why me? Why me? There's lots of other women around. Why me? Do I have a choice? She never voiced that. Never voiced it. But surely it was going through her mind. Why me? Isn't there someone better than me? And as she was thinking through all these thoughts, as Gabriel is talking to her, the impact of those words would have gone deep into her heart. And this is her response. As Gabriel said what's about to happen, Mary's response is, let's go for it. Isn't that amazing? Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Here is what's inside her heart. I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to be available to you. I want to be whatever you want me to be. I want to be there for you. I want to be what you've called me to be. I am a servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Today's message is about willingness. This young woman was willing to go through a life-changing plan for God's purpose. Her heart was full of willingness. Her mind was going crazy, but her heart was going, God, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Mary was willing to become a part of God's earth-shattering plan. She quickly embraced a hugely life-changing plan. She saw herself as a servant. She entered into a journey that could not be understood as concerning what the future would look like. And this willingness is an inspiration to us. You might say, well, seeing an angel would probably give anyone the motivation to embrace such a challenge. But the size of the angelic miracle matches the height of the challenge put to her and the significance of this plan for all of humanity. Now her experience was powerful. As she said those words, "Yes, God," the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The power of the Most High came upon her. I had no idea what that looked like, no idea what that felt like, but it would be amazing. At that time, she is alone. The angel goes and the Holy Spirit comes to overshadow her. And inside her womb begins the life of the Most High God living inside her. What that feels like, we'll never know. But it began the plan that resulted in you and I sitting here today. And for Mary, we don't read this in the Bible. We don't see this, but the challenges started at that very minute. The tough stuff started at that very minute. As the power of the Most High left and went off her, and she's now alone, having experienced the angel coming, having experienced the power of God coming over her, having been now changed on the inside, now she knows something amazing and powerful happened to me. Is anyone ever going to believe what happened to me? When I explain what happened to me, would anyone believe what I said? Who are you? A young woman? On your own? No witnesses, right? Mom, Dad, guess what happened to me today? Girlfriends, ring them up, text them. TikTok, hey, guess what happened to me today? Who's going to believe? And what about Joseph? Hey, Joseph, guess what? I'm pregnant. Imagine the challenges hitting her mind right now. Can you imagine? She's going to be with Joseph the next few hours. Maybe she goes to his house. Maybe he comes to her house. Maybe they meet in the market square. I don't know how it happens. But she's going to sound and say, "I need to talk to you, darling. I need to tell you something. You won't believe this. This stuff's not written in the Bible, but you and I know what happened, right?" And she's saying to Joseph, "I saw an angel. You're not going to believe me." But he's believing her because she's crying, she's shaking, she's traumatized but joyful. And she's going, "The angel told me this and this and this. And the shadow of the Most High came over me. And Emmanuel, God with us, said, I am going to conceive." You remember Isaiah, right? You remember Isaiah 7:14. This is happening to me right now. And Joseph responds and he goes, "Okay, it's not good. My girl, who I'm supposed to be married to, is having a baby and I'm not part of it." And he decided, "I'm going to put you away. I'm going to divorce you. But I'm going to do it quietly because I'm a man of integrity. I'm a man of honor. I'm not going to shout this to the whole community. And I'm going to say, sorry, but it's over. I'm walking away." But God knew what was gone. And God gave him a dream. "Joseph, this is me. I'm part of this. I'm asking you now, would you be part of my plan?" And he goes, "Yes, God. Yes, God." He comes back to Mary and he says, "We're going to do it. Babe, we're going to do it. We're going to be together." And from that minute until the baby was born, they never had sex. That's in the Bible. That's a big deal. But they knew there's something divine on. But this is just the beginning of the challenges. What about the rest of the community now? They rescheduled the wedding day because it was probably a few weeks or a few months down the track, but she's already pregnant. Wacko, make that ceremony happen right now. Amen? Because that baby is going to be born to a couple. And then we aren't even at the time of birth, and now we've got a census happening, put in place by the Romans, and now we have to travel back to Bethlehem, and there's no place to stay. Challenge after challenge after challenge. And even after Jesus is born, now the king of that time starts killing babies everywhere because he's worried that this religious leader that everyone's talking about will one day take authority away from them. So lots of babies died at that time. And God warned them, Joseph and Mary, go down to Egypt. And they were down there for some years to keep Jesus safe. Challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. You know what? God is calling you today. Are you willing? You might say, well, it's easy for a young girl. She's got nothing else in front of her. I've got a life to live. I've got plans. I've got dreams. But God's got an incredible plan for your life. It's a plan for your blessing, a plan for your benefit, a plan that you might be able to walk with Him and to know the Most High God. Are you willing? Yes, there will be challenges. As soon as you say yes to God, whatever you want, God, I will be a servant of yours. I'm available to you. Okay, bring on the challenges. Bring on the tough stuff. Because there is an enemy. But God has a plan for your life. And I want to ask you this morning, do you want your plan or do you want God's plan for your life? Your plan might sound very exciting to a worldly person. You're going to do uni. You're going to get a job. You're going to build a business. You're going to travel the world. You're going to whatever, whatever, whatever. But compare that with taking lots of people to heaven. What will matter in what I do today in 1 million years from now? What we count as really important today, this year, over the next few years, how much will it matter in 1 million years from now? Because in 1 million years, we'll still be a conscious being, either with God or away from God for eternity. And I don't know about you, but I want to take as many people as I can with me. I really want my family to be there with me. I want my neighbors to be there with me. I want the people I meet to be there with me. Because I know how terrible it is to be away from God. His plan is for your benefit eternally. His plan is that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And that what's birthed inside you is the Spirit of the living God. It's just like what happened to Mary. Except hers was a physical child. Yours is born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that when we receive Christ, Jesus said, I and my Father will come and make our abode with you. We will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, a human being walking the earth as a son or daughter of the living God. How incredible. We're not just son of God who's some religious leader, some religious idea or entity or philosophy. We are a son of the living God that created that universe we just spoke about. that will be forever, eternally, the God of all things. And he says to you and I, you're my son. You're my daughter. And Jesus thought that was so precious that I want to give my life for that. I want to lay down my life. I want to experience not only the pain and the agony of Calvary and the cross and all that he went through, but also separation from the Father as he was made sin for us. It's one thing for a man to suffer. It's a totally different thing for the Almighty, incredible, immortal God to suffer for rubbish like this. God loves you. God loves you so much you couldn't explain it in a million years of talking. You couldn't paint it in a thousand paintings. You couldn't describe it in a million movies. God loves you. He wants to be with you forever. And all of us have messed up so bad. We've all sinned. We've all done things wrong. We've all been dumb, stupid, selfish people that have done things that have dishonored God, dishonored ourselves, dishonored our loved ones. But Jesus said, that's why I came. That's why I died. I want to take all the penalty you deserve. I want to carry that so that you can be free. Now all you need to do is believe. Believe in me. Yes, Jesus. Let that revelation come to me, to every person that I share this incredible message with. Maybe there's someone that you really love, and you can invite them to come to church for Christmas. They did a survey in Australia recently and they found out 30% of Australians said, I would go to church on Christmas if someone invited me. Why don't you invite three people this week? Statistically, one will come. Why don't you invite 10 people this week? Statistically, 3 1/3 of them will come. And each one that comes, maybe bring their partner, friend, son, daughter, mum, dad, uncle, aunt. Who'd be here next week? Because you said, just like Mary did, I will be your servant. I will be available. I will be part of your plan. I want to pray this morning because it could be possible that somebody here today would like to take a step of faith and commit their life to Christ and receive this forgiveness we're speaking about. I'm going to pray and I want to ask you, would you pray with me right now? Would you close your eyes and just look to God? Father, I pray today for every one of us in this building, for each person watching online, that you would touch every heart with real revelation, real understanding that this message is true and that this message applies to every one of us. Jesus died for each one of us. He carried our sins. He rose from the dead to give us power over sin and death. Lord Jesus, touch each heart right now with your love. Let an overwhelming sense of your love just pour into each heart. In Jesus' precious name, while you're in a place of prayer with your eyes closed, just look to God. If today is your day that you want to say yes to Jesus, just as Mary did, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you in a minute. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? If that's you, you want to respond to God's love like that. Thank you. You can put your hand down, sir. Next person, anybody else would like to pray that prayer, inviting Christ. Just raise your hand. Anybody else today that needs to take that step of faith, would you raise your hand? Thank you, Jesus. anybody else. We're going to pray a prayer right now, and I invite you to pray it after me as a way of receiving Jesus, a way of receiving forgiveness. And we'll all pray together so that we can join with that person who's doing it for the first time today. Would you say these words out loud after me? My Lord Jesus, I come to you and I surrender my life. Please forgive me all of my sins. I come to you to give you my life. Thank you that you died for me. Come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me just pray for you today. Father, thank you that at least one, maybe others, have prayed that prayer in a very meaningful way to make a difference in their life. I pray that they would sense and know supernaturally that you have come to dwell within them by your Spirit. And today is the beginning of a new life for them. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' precious name, pray. Amen.